We've been preaching out of Mark over the last few weeks, almost months now, out of Mark chapter 5, and lately out of Mark 6. We want to continue from Mark 6 today. I'm not going to read the scripture over again. It's read so eloquently by Reverend Hayes. Verses 30 to 44. I think she read a little longer to 46. The subject is, in the master's hand, there's always enough. Jesus is called his disciples together, and they've been busy working and ministering and preaching and delivering people. Started out, if you will, a few months ago in Matthew 5, when Jesus gets out of the boat and there's a crazy man running around, a demoniac, you remember him, and he says, what is your name? And he says, my name is Legion. He says, I'm so mixed up, I don't know who I am. And then he continues this journey. Chapter 6, you remember, Jesus goes to his own hometown. And they don't even acknowledge him. He couldn't heal people in his own town. He could heal folk in other towns, but when he got to his own town, because of their unbelief, and they said, isn't this Mary's boy, isn't this Joseph's boy, he can't possibly have any divine authority. Then he goes on, and Jairus' daughter he heals, and the woman with the issue of blood, you remember that? He heals. All this is in Mark 6. And then, last week, we're still in Mark 6. Herod's daughter, Salome and Herodotus, she did this crazy dance. And she danced so that Herod says, whatever you want up to half the kingdom, you just ask for and you got it. And then here we are today in Mark 6 again, verse 30. Jesus is in Galilee, and he's got his disciples with him, because now Galilee is a small country, about 50 miles long from north to south and about 25 miles wide from east to west. In the middle of Galilee, there's the Galilee Sea. It's about 8 miles long. Jesus has released some authority to his disciples, and they have been out preaching and teaching, and they have been out setting people free, and they've been so busy. How many of you know if you got free health insurance and you got the word that they can heal, people will come to you? So these guys, they are tired, they have been working hard, and Jesus says to them, get in a boat and go to the other side, go to this desert place, because you and I, we need some rest. Anybody ever been in a predicament that you needed a retreat? You didn't want to go to no big city, you wanted to go to a desert place so you could be all by yourself. So this is where Jesus finds himself. Jesus, also, you know, I neglected to mention at the last week, not only did Herodotus or Salome dance, but she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. You remember that? So Jesus is there, and he says, let's go to this desert place. I want you to go, get in the boat. I want you to go to this desert place with me, because he says, Jesus was also human and divine. And in his human self, Jesus says, listen, I need some rest. And not only did he need rest, but Jesus, I believe, felt the pain of losing a good friend. John the Baptist was a faithful friend to Jesus, that was a forerunner to Jesus. And the fact that he had lost John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was beheaded, Jesus says, I need some grieving ground. Anybody ever been there when you lost somebody and you really, your friends tried to come around you, but you really didn't want them at that particular time? I need some space. I believe Jesus was at that particular point. He says, listen, I want you to go with me to my grieving ground. I need to pray. I need some time alone. And not only that, Jesus recognized what was ahead for him. He knew that Calvary was up the road, and he knew that he needed a space so that he could have time to talk with God before he talked with men. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you know something is up the road, when you know you've got a challenge up the road, when you know you've got a difficulty up the road, you better take some time to talk to God about it. So Jesus needed rest for his body, but he needed strength for his soul. Have you ever been there? That you know that talking to God would give you the strength to handle the mess that you've got to deal with on your job, or the mess that you've got to deal with at home, or the mess that you've got to deal with in some relationship. That's where Jesus is. So Jesus gets the disciples and say, get in the boat and let's go to this desert place so we could be alone. But as they're getting into the boat, people know where he's going, and they decide to follow him along the banks of the sea. I've been watching the Olympics. How many of y'all been watching the Olympics? And they have those kayaks or whatever it is, and they're racing, and I see people on bicycles trying to keep up with them as they go down the river. You know, that's what the case was right here. They were on a boat, but there were people running alongside of the sea to keep up with Jesus because they knew that they would get to where he was going, that he had the power to heal. And so Jesus and the group of disciples are going to this place. And the other thing I need to mention to you, this miracle is mentioned in all four Gospels. And there's a little bit of information differently in all of them. So I think it's in Luke's Gospel, we find that they are going to Bethsaida. And so they're on the way, and people know that they're going to Bethsaida. And so they're running along the sea so that they can make sure, you know, when we sing that song, when you start handing out blessings, that you will have a blessing for me. So, and not only is it a few people. Now we know from the text that the text says that there were 5,000 men. And if there were 5,000 men, you can guarantee there were 15,000 women. I mean, just look at this congregation. Nothing has ever changed. It's the same thing. It's at least a 3-to-1 with children. And so Jesus is going to rest. And the people follow him and spoil the purpose of the trip. He wants to get away. He wants to get some rest. He wants to grieve a little bit. He wants to pray so he can get some strength to deal with Calvary that's coming up the road. And the people will not leave him alone. Now, not only is Jesus traveling, but the disciples are traveling. Look at the difference between Jesus and the disciples. The disciples see these folk running after them, and they say, "You're getting on my nerves." The people become irritated. They irritated the disciples, but when Jesus saw them, he had compassion. Look at somebody say compassion. Jesus saw the crowd. The text says that he had compassion, that he felt something in his heart. He knew their pain. He knew their misery. He knew that they needed not only physical healing, but they needed emotional healing. He knew that they needed some divine help, and he put his grief on hold to take care of their situations. Look at somebody and say, what a mighty God we serve, that he would put his divine, he would put his human grief on hold to take care of my mess and to take care of your mess. And so the disciples look at him. Jesus says, disciples look at him, and the disciples are tired. They've been healing all day. They've been healing for weeks. They've been in religious services Oh, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes, you know, I can be in church so long, I'm ready to go home. I know some of you religious folk out there, you say, no, we just going to stay here, we're going to praise him. That means you only showed up every 2 years. And when you're here every week, I need to get out of here. And these guys, they've been working, they've been preaching, they've been delivering. And then all of a sudden, here they are trying to get away to get a little rest. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to run and be delivered on this time when you're tired. They say to Jesus, send them away. I'm tired. I ain't got time to be bothered with those folks. Send them away. Unfortunately, that's the kind of world that we live in. When people have a need, we are so quick to say, send them away. Send them to jail. Send them to the army. Send them anywhere. I don't care where you send them. But just don't let them bother me. Send them away. Too often people come to church for help, and we cannot help, and we say, send them away. You want help? You got to show up on Thursday night. Don't you get here on Friday looking for help. Send them away. Jesus says, don't you send them away. You feed them. And then they say, well, what we got to feed? You see that crowd, Jesus? That's 20,000 folk. Then they start doing the arithmetic. That would take so many denarii. That would take, you know how much money that would take? It's 8 months worth of money to feed that crowd. That would break the benevolent fund, Jesus. Jesus says, then when, you know, when they start, and that's just the way our country is right now. I got to throw in a little politics right now. This Tea Party crowd. You know, whenever people come for need, they all of a sudden, if you help people in this country that we live in right now, they want to call you, give somebody some Social Security, you give somebody some food stamp, all of a sudden you are socialist. But then if you want to just keep all the money and give it to the rich folk so that they can trickle down, that's called capitalism. As if capitalism is the greatest thing in the world. I don't care what you call it. If you're going to help somebody to eat, I call it Christianity. That's what I call it. You can call it socialism if you want to. You can call it capitalism if you want to. Just help somebody and don't get this attitude to send them away. Too often that's what happens in our country today. We have this mentality to send people away. Send them to jail. Let's build some private jails. Send them to reform school. Anything. Send them, put them in the street, but for God's sake, don't give them a decent education. We don't have enough money to educate our kids. We got enough money to fight 2 wars. We got enough money to buy brand new missiles and smart bombs. We got enough money. Look at somebody say, we don't have a supply problem. We have a distribution problem. You got to change what's important to you so that you can help people to make it in this world of unemployment. Everybody ain't lazy. People want to work. They want to provide for their own children and their own families. We don't have a supply. We got a distribution. Jesus says, they start talking about what they don't have. You know, Jesus has 20,000 people out there, 5,000 men. Some of those men look like they like Deacon Robinson. They're big guys. They're like Shelton over there. Some of them brothers can eat, Jesus. Have you counted the cost? And we start making up excuses by what we don't have. And Jesus raises the question, what do you have? Never mind what you don't have. Check out what you got. So they start going around. You know, and it was like my mother. You know, some of them sisters had sandwiches in their purses, you know. They go to Atlantic City. And then they go to that smorgasbord. Especially once they get 65 or 70 years old. They stuff that stuff in their purse and dare. They dare the waiter to say anything about it. Don't raise your head. I know what I'm talking about. I got them up.
Jesus prophesied, it looks like you've got nothing, but I want you to go out there and check and see what you got.
And once they did a survey, they came back and said, well, Jesus, got a little boy over here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, my research, Deacon Hodge, these weren't no big fish. They were sardines. These weren't no, you know, no big old, you know, in your mind, you're going to feed 20,000. That must have been 2 whales. No, it was 2 sardines. But when you put it in the master's head, when you take a little bit, when you stretch your faith, and you bring what you got and put it in the master's hand, he's got the power. He looked up to heaven. He said, Father, I'm your son down here. I need some divine help right now. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Father, show yourself strong. Father, show yourself mighty. Father, do your thing.
Jesus.
Our problem is we forget what we have. And we're always thinking about what we don't have. How many of you know you'll never be judged by what you do with what you don't have? You'll only be judged by what you do with what you got. If you ain't got nothing, you can't do nothing about that. But he says, bring it to me. And he's, never underestimate the power of God. Never underestimate the power of God. So they brought it to Jesus and said, Jesus said, well, give it to me. And then he said to him, now, have the folk sit down. How many of you know ain't nothing like a mob? You can't talk to a mob. You got to bring some order into the situation. Do I have a witness? You know, mob. I don't mind congregations, but I don't do too well in a mob. Whenever I go to some of these big, you know, the thing they have in the summer, and they have all these thousands of people around 4th of July, I always hang on the periphery. I never get right in the middle of stuff because I don't know what's going to break out. Because that mob mentality, you can get lost in a mob. A whole lot of our children got lost in a mob. A whole lot of us got lost in a mob. We lost our minds hanging around a group. I'll do all right. I'll walk in the middle of a congregation. At least I think somebody know God in the congregation. But out there in that mob, that might be all hellions.
Jesus says to him, he says, give me what you got and then tell them to sit down.
And he organized them. Says they sat down in groups of 50 and groups of 100. And I like the way Jesus calls us out of the mob. Look at somebody and say, I ain't a mob person no more. I've been called out of the mob. I'm a son. I'm a daughter right now. My name used to be Legion, but he calls me by my name right now. I've been bought with a price. He died for me, and he gave me a brand new name. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I used to be Mob 101, but now I'm a son. Now I'm a daughter. He knows my name. Because he knows my name, he knows just what I need. No more hiding out in the mob. How many of you know sometimes it's easy to hide in the mob? Go down there to the mob. You know, I haven't always been in the church. When you're in the crowd, how many of you know think that you can put sunglasses on and nobody will recognize you? Let me get my glasses. And then you put a cap on or a hoodie. But when you've been bought with a price, You don't mind him knowing your name and calling you out of your mess. And when he said to the nun, sit down. And he told them to divide them into groups. And then he used the disciples. He was trying to teach the disciples something. But you know, those disciples had made up their mind. First of all, these people are irritating me. They should have got here on Thursday. They knew the benevolence was handed out on Thursday. And they knew that we were going away for an extended weekend retreat at the Salvation Army Retreat Center. And here they are messing up our plans and spoiling our weekend. And Jesus talking about us to feed them. Jesus, send them back to Hackensack. Send them back to Inglewood. Send them back to Teaneck. I don't care. Give them a plane ticket to Florida. But for God's sake, don't let them mess with our weekend. Jesus said, no. Sit them down and you serve. Because what I want you to learn is that I'm able to take a little bit. I've seen God do it right here in Mount Olive Benevolence. When I've seen God take the little crumbs that we give him in benevolence. And I've seen him bless some people. I've seen him open doors for some people. I've seen him put food on the table. I've seen him put clothes on the bed. I've seen him stretch. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How God can take a little bit and stretch it. What about you? You had a grandmother like mine. She always had money. Didn't have no bank account. She had money in her bosom. She start, what you need, baby? And then she'd have it tied up in a handkerchief. Gonna take 20 minutes to untie it. She got it. Now she's got a... Oh, but God can take a little bit. And he can stretch it. He can take soup and he can take pinto beans. He can take stuff to feed an army. Anytime you would come to my grandmama's house, she'd always have something to eat. I've seen people come to Mount Olive Benevolent Fund. They come in and talk about, well, you know, I'm 3 months behind. How much is your rent, dear? $1,500. How much you need? $4,500? And I've seen the deacon say, we can't do that. I've seen him say, well, do you have any family? Yeah. Do you have any friends? Yeah. Have you been to CAP yet? No. Have you been to any of the other agencies? Do you have some, the folk that you call your main boo. Have you talked to him? Have you talked to her? No. Go back. Because what they're saying is, you haven't counted all of your resources yet. You're looking for us to fix it with one check. We ain't going to fix it one check. You're doing just what Jesus says. Go out there and find out what you got. When you go find out what you got, go talk to some other folks. Come back here and we'll give you $1,000 to round it out. Look at somebody and say, God knows how to stretch. God knows how to make a way out of no way. About through. Once they went to check out what they had. They brought it to Jesus. He looked up to heaven. Prayed. God always, once you give it to God, he always enlarges it. He always stretches it. Remember when you gave him your son and your daughter and they came to Sunday school, God stretched me. When you gave yourself to God, when you and I were messed up and we were between a rock and a hard place, when we finally drug our no good selves into God and in His presence, God enlarged us and changed us and developed. Do I have a witness in the house? God has a way of stretching you and enlarging you and making you more than you ever thought that you could be. God
took those 5 loaves, 2 fish, prayed over them, fed 20,000. And then the text says there were 12 baskets left over.
You can't beat God giving, no matter how hard you try. Do I have a witness in the house? Look at somebody and say, don't be stingy. Not with God. Don't be stingy. Not with God. You might be stingy with Jackson, but don't be stingy with God. Because God specializes in overflow. He overflows with grace. Do I have a witness? He overflows with mercy. He overflows with second chances. God is a God who's able.
Finish this up with just saying, whatever you're struggling with, put it in the Master's hand.
There's always enough. He can always enlarge it. Enlarge your heart. Enlarge your mind.
They brought him a cross one day. And that cross in the beginning was the symbol of suffering and shame. But when he finished with it, it was a symbol of redemptive love.
Oh, bring it to him. Bring yourself to him. Bring your mind. Bring all that you are to him. Whoever you are, bring yourself to him. You might not be perfect. I am not perfect. But bring yourself just as you are.
Put yourself in the Master's hand. Step back and get out of the way. And watch God enlarge you. Amen.